The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Wednesday morning. Well, we're all obviously still flying high with the now 10-2 Eagles, 8-game winning streak. It's a remarkable thing. Super Bowl aspirations are real. Sixers, NBA Finals, not real. But they got a win last night. Did it without Embiid. We'll get into that. Paul George played well. Flyers still off. They got a lot of days off here this week. We'll get to it all today. A lot of it with you on the phones, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
What's going on, John?
I need you to give me a guess this morning. The scientific name of a gorilla. Take a guess.
The scientific name of a gorilla is gorillai.
Almost, actually.
Not that far off.
That's actually a really solid scientific guess Joe DeCameron.
Yeah, who knew?
It's just unbelievable. The scientific name for a gorilla is gorilla.
Nailed it.
Well, gorilla monsoon would have been better,
it's
but
gorilla,
that's good.
Gorilla. Yeah. That's the scientific name?
I like
Are
it.
You kidding me?
That's weird.
I mean, a little creativity I'm asking for from Kellen Moore out there. Like, scientific community, please.
John, I told you, my mom, her middle name is Claire, and her confirmation name is also Claire. She's literally Claire.
She did a bad job with that also.
Yeah,
but this is the Western Lowland Gorilla, and scientific
the
name.
Cool fact.
What can we come up with?
The cool fact.
Oh, gorilla.
So as good a fact as that is, it's not as good a fact as the Eagles really could win the Super Bowl this year. They obviously have really positioned themselves for a great shot. You know, tomorrow's going to be a big game when Detroit plays Green Bay for the purpose of one seed and all that sort of stuff. But whether the Eagles have the one seed or the two seed, they're going to have a great shot. And, you know, it's worth a revisit right now on Jalen Hurts and where we stand now. Because, obviously, he came under a pretty heavy dose of criticism earlier this year, middle part of this year. A lot of it from me, a lot of callers, certain hosts, not other hosts. So let's revisit the Jalen thing and where we're at right now with him at 215-592-9494. And I'll frame it this way. Now that, obviously, the... I don't want to say the stakes have been raised, because the stakes have always been to try to win the Super Bowl, but that the likelihood of getting there has increased. I'll ask you this question. Do you worry about Jalen holding the Eagles back from winning at all? But I'll also ask you this question. Even if your answer is yes, how much more confident do you feel in Jalen now than you did a month or two ago?
This is so skewed. I do not support this idea.
What?
That we're... I don't feel this way at all.
What way? I don't know what you're
saying. I can't believe that they were putting this out there so matter-of-factly, like, oh, just don't you feel that Jalen, as he's always hindered us, held us back, that he'll continue to do so this year?
That's not what I said.
This is way too over the top, man.
Well, Jalen
is an elite NFL quarterback in a league.
Before we go any further,
John,
I need you to hold on a second. Before we go any further, this is a conversation we've been having for the whole history of WIP. Will the quarterback win the Super Bowl for the Eagles to hold him back? We've had it with Donovan. We've had it with Randall. We had it with Carson. We've had it with Nick Foles. We've had it a million times. We're having it with Jalen Hurts. It's a worthy conversation. The team is good enough to win the Super Bowl. Jalen has a shot to help them win it. Or, like Donovan did, not. So, yes, it's squarely on the table. I'm asking everyone at 215-592-9494, do you worry about Jalen holding them back or not? I do worry about it. Now, let me be very clear.
I'm aware you're worried.
Okay, but hold on. I've heard this. Let me be very clear. He deserves a tremendous, tremendous amount of credit for playing a lot better lately. Now, it's not to the extent where he should be MVP candidate, because that's ridiculous talk, okay? But there's two things in particular he's done very well lately that he did not do early this year or late last year. One is he's not turning it over. Tremendous advancement. He had a stretch, it was close to a year in pro football terms, where he turned it over more than anyone in pro football. So for him to be from that to where he's been for most of the last 2 months, phenomenal advancement.
This is not an advancement that's just a simple, like, check it off the list. This is something.
Well, John, he was number one.
Everything goes into this concept of turning it over, not turning it over.
But you can't act like he wasn't a turnover machine. He was a turnover machine for a good stretch there.
Okay, and we knew he would fix it because that's what he does.
No, I didn't know that he would fix it.
Come on, man. Well, I think I was telling you that we were going to fix it, that he was going to fix it.
And I'm trying to give him credit for that. I'm telling you it's a great advancement that he has improved that dramatically.
And you did not believe.
James, I can't even give the guy credit without getting criticized. I'm trying to give him credit. I can't even get through my list of what he deserves. All right, I'll stop my list.
You don't truly believe that this is an elite quarterback. Is Jalen Hurts elite?
No, I don't think he is. John, the last game
what
of the Eagles.
What does he have to do to be elite? Like the other elite quarterbacks, what do they do differently?
Besides win
a Super Bowl.
How about more than 11 completions and 118 yards, which
Look
is how they won?
Look around the league. Look around the league at what the other quarterbacks are doing. Look at what Josh Allen throws it a little more. Josh Allen also runs
more,
it a little more.
A little
Josh
more.
Josh Allen, there are games where he hands it off an awful lot up there. In the snow and all that?
It happens. But here are two facts that we do know. One is the Eagles this year have run the ball more than any team in pro football. And two is they have thrown the ball less than any team in pro football. And I agree
and
with you, John.
I would too, no, because I, this offensive line and
I
this
agree.
Running back means that we are going to go and knock on the Super Bowl's door.
I agree.
And if everything goes as planned, we're gonna do great things.
Doesn't mean he's elite though. And here's my worry when I talk about the Super Bowl as relates to Jalen. Because, look, obviously he could go out there and win it for them. He almost did 2 years ago. He was toe-to-toe with Mahomes. Other than dropping the ball, he outplayed Mahomes. I mean, I really believe that. I really, really believe that. But I also know this. I worry if Saquon gets hurt and if they have to lean on Jalen more, what happens now? I always have worried about what happens with lesser players out there because he has had a hell of an advantage. Now look, he's won games this year without
Devontae. You should worry
about
Devontae. Having lesser players out there because it'll ruin a season for most teams and organizations. The San Francisco 49ers have won, what, 5 games this year?
Yeah, they're a mess.
Because they've had injuries galore, and they just can't make up for that. They can't account for that. Their season's done because they just can't survive.
So are you telling me you have... I mean, I'm just trying to frame this, like, just to really understand where you're at. No concern that he would hold them back from winning the Super Bowl.
No, I do not have concern. And quite the opposite. I have excitement about the fact that he gives us a better chance to win the Super Bowl than anyone else I can think of out there except Patrick Mahomes, because he can always get you that extended down. He can always somehow figure out a way to break the defense's back. And I, as an offensive player standing on the sideline, watching very few quarterbacks like him, but watching that happen, feeling what that does to a sideline, I love that our guy can do that.
Well, that was going to be the second thing I was going to say that he deserves a lot of credit for improving on. His running has become much more dynamic again.
It's timely. And he uses it to full advantage.
Yeah.
And by the way, it is helping Saquon too.
I agree.
And it is helped by the offensive line, and it is a team thing. But his knowledge, his understanding of the pull reads and everything else, that's so important to our run game success. And that's something that I think you totally sneeze at. You look down your nose at, you don't give credit where it's due in that respect.
No, look, So I'll say this. I don't think that's fair because I was literally going to say that as my second point. So, you know, I do believe that Jalen deserves a lot of credit, both with his own running and how it helps the Eagles' running attack. And clearly, he has churned the first down thing by scrambling, sometimes on third down. And the tush push, which you guys know I'm not a fan of as a football fan. Like, I don't think it should be in the game, but it's in the game, and no one's ever done it better than him. I mean, we overuse the term GOAT. He is the GOAT of quarterback tush pushes, and it's a tremendous advantage. And Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore lean on it, like Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen leaned on it. And it's a thing, and it's a weapon, and he's a weapon with it. With that said, I do worry about if they're in a spot where if you have Saquon dinged up, you know, if you have some offensive line guys out, you know, would he, if he has to go out there this year, and instead of going like he did the other day, 11 for 19 for 118, if he had to go out there and do a 27 for 35, does he have it in his bag this year? I'm not sure.
We've seen
it. I'm not sure.
Joe, we know the best offense is a balanced offense. We know that's what we have now. I say, why mess with that? It annoys the heck out of me that our balanced offense is now cause for people who want to detract from our quarterback and say, look, he only completed 11 passes. He's doing what he's being asked to do.
No,
he's doing
it
incredibly well. He's doing what the defense dictates he does. That's part of this, too. You know how much RPO we ran this last game? He is taking what the defense allows. Do not punish him for doing that better than anyone else out there.
All right, so look,
Our team is awesome because of Jalen Hurts in many ways. Yes, it's because of a lot of things.
Yep.
But Jalen Hurts is a big part of that equation. And yes, he is elite. And yes, it's exciting that he continues to be on the upswing. He's going to continue to grow and improve. There's room for that. He acknowledges that.
All right, it's a fascinating question because, look, we've tackled it many times, but not for a few weeks here. They keep winning. He is a part of it. I don't think he's as big a part of it as Saquon. I think Jalen Carter's a way better football player than Jalen Hurts is. But Jalen Hurts deserves credit for improvement. Where do you stand with him right now? 215-592-9494. Is he elite? Is he an MVP candidate, in your opinion? Should he be? Is he someone that you worry about holding the Eagles back from winning the Super Bowl or being a primary reason why they go out there and win it all? And he hoists that Lombardi. Where are you at on all of it? Jetta Cameron, look, we're going to get into the Juan Soto thing. There's some Sixer stuff stemming from last night, phone calls and all of it, your chance to win a cool prize today, all that today. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, a Hurts revisit. Where do you stand now? All right, Jalen's obviously played better lately. Where do you stand with them now? 215-592-9494. Do you think he's more likely to lead them to the Super Bowl, kind of be carried by them to win the Super Bowl, or hold them back? How would you frame that? 215-592-9494. All right, let's get a ton of calls in here. By the way, AMA today at 7. So your chance to get a question or questions into us, not just on the phone line, but Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Get some good, fun, creative questions in there, sports or otherwise. AMA 7 o'clock today. Let's kick it.
You know what? I view Jalen as the Lamborghini under the cover in the garage that we take for a spin sometimes when necessary, sometimes for great advantage.
Mm-hmm. I view him as the guy sitting in the back seat. He's part of
that's way too
behind Saquon in the defense.
No, that's...
Well, he is behind Saquon in the defense, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but I mean, you say have somebody in as a passenger, I do not think he's a passenger.
But I mean, wouldn't you put him behind defense and Saquon
sure,
for most likely reason
is,
to win it all?
But, we're talking about half the team. We're talking about a gigantic
concept. We're talking about
concept.
Different positions.
Like,
they're not even comparable. You can't put athletes on the same team against each other.
But here's what I'm saying. What would be the primary reason why they win the Super Bowl? And in my opinion, the number one reason right now would be defense, and the number two reason would be Saquon.
Does it matter?
Like, let me put it this way. When Foles won the Super Bowl, no, it doesn't matter.
As long as they win.
No,
it's not
a reasonable question. But I'll say this. When Foles won the Super Bowl, and they won the Super Bowl, in my opinion, the number one reason why the team, not so much that game, but that season, was strength along the offensive and defensive line. I thought that was the primary reason why they were 16-3
that
year.
Well, and quarterback play. Between the two. Yeah. If you put Wentz and Foles, you have to. I mean,
no, I'm not discounting that, but I'm telling you, I would put it behind the strength of the Lions.
I would put quarterback play first and the strength of the
Lions. I understand. It's to be considered. It's to be considered. All right, let's go to the phones. Where do you stand on all of it? Let's get to Darren in South Philadelphia. Darren, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Uncle Richie, Brother Seltzer.
What's up,
everybody
Darren?
Else. Hey, Joe, can I ask you a question seriously?
No.
If a quarterback accounts for 4,000 yards and 25 touchdowns, yep. Is that good enough? Does it matter that he throws for 2,000 and rushes for 2,000 and you split it in half?
No, it doesn't matter.
So then why do we care? Jalen gets these yards we need. Why does it matter that he only completed 11, through 19 completed 11, but we still rushed the ball in the amount of times we won? Like, it's opinions and statements like that that blow my mind because, you know, Tom Brady throws for 4,000 yards, Lamar Jackson throws for 2,000, rushes for 2,000, and, you know, they're all elite, but you're going to sit there and say because Jalen doesn't throw.
Well, let me ask you a question because Lamar Jackson's an interesting name you invoked. So I would say Lamar Jackson, while great and worthy of multiple MVPs, has held Baltimore back from winning the Super Bowl. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Disagree. He's throwing to Nelson Aguilar.
But have you seen those playoff games, man? He has had some playoff struggles, right? I mean, isn't that fair?
He's the reason that they've been.
No, I know he is.
The playoffs.
But wouldn't you say he's also someone who's held them back in the postseason?
Just like every player.
He's had incredible plays.
He's had bad plays. Lamar, he's been the MVP twice.
I acknowledge that. I'm surprised Darren, honestly, I'm surprised you're not acknowledging that he has struggled in the postseason. He has struggled in the postseason.
He has absolutely struggled in the postseason.
As a passer,
right, James? It's like Donovan. And Donovan in some of the biggest spots was at his worst. That's a fact.
Okay. And he also put them in the postseason with his performance.
I acknowledge that.
Yeah, they're separate issues. We can have, but they're not, you know, not mutually exclusive.
Go ahead, Darren.
But, Joe, are you going to sit there and say because Joe Burrow struggles in the playoffs, he's not elite? But you're sitting there saying because Jalen doesn't throw, he's not elite. He's an elite quarterback. I mean,
here's my contention. If he was better in the passing game, I think they would throw more. But look, I think they're doing a great job coaching. I think he's doing a fantastic job accepting his role. Like, there's a lot of people that wouldn't be happy. $250 million quarterback.
You think if he was better in the passing game, they would throw more?
Yes, I do.
More.
You don't?
No. I think the defense dictates whether they throw at times. I think week to week, the tendencies of a defense dictate whether they throw.
Well, for sure.
I do not think they are limited by their quarterback's ability.
But here's where
Here's
where I disagree with you on that, Sean. When they signed him to a $255 million contract, I don't think the idea at that moment was, in 2 years, let's be the team that throws the ball less than any squad in pro football. Like, that to me is a fairly shocking development.
You understand that those numbers, in large part, are due to the fact that we have not had to compete in fourth quarters.
Yes, you know, that's part of it.
Those numbers get padded in such a huge way.
For sure.
Like, that's not real. That's not real. What you're doing right there is not real.
That's part of it, but that's not all of it. I mean, they have committed to running earlier in the game much, much more in the
last. Because they have the best running back in the league.
Absolutely.
So they should be running it.
I agree.
I just don't equate passing the ball more with being elite. I think you utilize the weapons that you have, and right now they have the best running back in Saquon, so they're going to use him.
All right. This is why we're trying to figure it out. Let me know where you stand.
I don't think it's any detriment to Jalen Hurts in his play. I don't.
Okay. Let's get to Mike, West Philadelphia. Michael, good morning, pal.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Great, Mike.
Hey, what you saying, Joe? Why are you bringing this up, man? I mean, he's been playing good for 8 weeks. Now you say, I mean, what you going to say tomorrow? Is Sirianni going to hold us back? I mean,
he might. I thought Sirianni got outcoached by Andy Reid 2 years ago. He might.
Regardless of what? I mean, Jalen took him to the Super Bowl without Saquon and Jalen Carter.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to put him in the back seat. See, you want to be so right.
But I got him in the car, Mike. Mike, you're acting like you're...
Oh, that's so nice you have him in the car.
But Mike, see, here's the thing. Like, you hear back seat and you see that as a huge slight. I can't fathom how you think he's more culpable in success than Saquon.
He's driving the bus.
Nah, Saquon's driving the bus on offense.
You want to be so right because you always said that he wasn't good enough. So now you want to just come down and ruffle the feathers and everything when everything was going smoothly.
I was really honest, Mike, honest to God, I was really trying to compliment him in a big way today. But, okay.
Listen, let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
Hey, Rhea, I don't know if Rhea did, but hey, thank you. Because she sent me to Cancun and Del Frisco's and all that. You know Angelo Cataldi. You dig what I'm saying?
Rhea, you know Angelo?
I do know him.
Get out of here.
I do. A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, why did you bring this up? You should be talking about how the Sixers won last night. And you want to bring up some negative stuff.
We'll get to the section. We'll do that, Mike. I appreciate the call. All right. Hey, the Sixers won last night.
Don't care. And it drove everybody crazy who watched it.
Don't
why?
Care.
Because Jared McCain didn't play the last eight and a half minutes.
I know.
Joe, 17 points in 22 minutes. Kyle Lowry had 0 points in 13 minutes.
I'm aware. Nick Nurse doesn't love playing Jared McCain.
It was
it's
insane.
Very weird.
But we also know
that they're back-to-back win.
Well, we also know it's a small backcourt when it's the two of them together, and we have wondered about.
But they couldn't get any offense. I mean, it was
Paul George played well, though.
No, Paul George played very well.
He played well.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's great to see. I mean,
we got a Sixers win and we got a complaint.
Yes. I'm here all day.
All right, James, are you fired up? Your team, your town, your 5-14 76ers?
No.
James, are they going to make the playoffs?
I wake up and I hope they lose if I don't see the game.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. They're not going to be bad enough to lose to the extent you want.
And that's the shame. But like, I have no interest in this team. Like, I have no investment. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I am angry. At the Sixers. I am angry at them. I don't want to support them right now.
I understand.
Like, I just don't.
I get it, man.
Oh, New Orleans. How about that?
How about that? Now, we do know the Eagles don't have good Super Bowl history down there.
Let's not go
there.
Well,
it's only one time. You know.
So, Rhea, you're the one person here that saw that game.
Yeah, I was a kid.
Because we were too young.
Made my mom cry.
So
I saw the game.
Oh, you did, John?
Yeah. I mean, I was born in 1974.
Okay, so you're six. You saw it. Rhea, you took it in more. How bad? Because I've heard from people they were just so flat.
It was there were interceptions, if I recall.
Yeah, there were.
I remember
the same Raider had three interceptions.
I know. I remember my mom crying, and I remember the stories after that. You know that the Eagles were tight, and that the Raiders were allowed to. You know they were running amok in New Orleans like the night before the game.
Yeah, so Vermeulis has lamented that he had the team too tight. He has said that many times.
It was painful, but you know it was a good introduction.
You know that year. Hopefully, some year we have a year like that again in Philly sports. If you're young and don't know that year, '80, all four teams made the championship round. It's an achievement
it's
of
wild.
Such preposterous. James, do you know that year the Flyers went 35 straight games unbeaten?
Oh yeah, it's a classic.
35 straight games without a loss.
Classic streak.
It's unbelievable. All right, 2-1. Final. Of course, we're counting the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl in January of '81, but the '80 season. All right, we hope the Phillies can get back to the World Series and win it this time. And if they do, perhaps Juan Soto will be part of it, but unlikely. Here's a Soto update you should know about. ESPN reported yesterday. It's being widely reported that he's likely to sign soon. So here's the ESPN story on Juan Soto yesterday. They say I'm reading right from it. Juan Soto's much-hyped free agency is nearing its final stages, with a source familiar with the process opening the possibility that the star outfielder could pick his destination by the end of the week before the start of the annual winter meetings.
No.
The industry's agents and executives will descend upon Dallas on Sunday. Soto is widely expected to sign a record-breaking contract before they depart the following Thursday, and could do so before they even arrive, an industry source told ESPN on Tuesday. James Seltzer, will the Philadelphia Phillies sign Juan Soto?
No. I would put it at less than 1% chance.
Wow. Why is it that low? So let me say this before you answer that. The story also goes on to name five known teams.
Yeah, none of them are the Phillies,
and
right?
And none of them are the Phillies. Why is that?
I think that the Phillies knew they weren't getting Juan Soto, and they didn't want the fan base to get super excited about
it. You think that's because they think Soto doesn't want to be here?
I think they know that Juan Soto wasn't coming here. Like, they know. Like, Juan Soto, Boris, whatever, they said, hey, man, we're not coming here. we're going to the Yankees, we're going to the Mets, whatever it is. Like, it ain't going to be Philly. And I think that, or they gave the, like, a strong impression ain't going to be Philly. Or he said, hey, it's 6:50, and Milton's like, I'm not doing that. Whatever it is, I think that this was the way that they're saying, hey, don't get super excited about us getting Juan Soto. I know there's been rumors, and you guys were excited about it. It ain't happening. We're not even going to put ourselves in the discussion because we're not getting him.
Well, that's smart by the Phillies.
It's smart messaging if they're not getting him. Exactly.
Yeah. Does that bum you out, though, John?
Absolutely, it bums me out. When Jimmy said that it was less than a 1% chance, that my heart was... It was dashed on the rocks. It was, I thought for sure there was, I don't know, a 15% chance. I thought there was 20%, just, you know, not a certain thing, but it, like, hey, we'll talk. I knew that we weren't a front runner, but maybe we could still sneak in somewhere. Hey, can we get a little meeting? Hey, we love playing baseball here. Come check us out. You know some of the guys too. How about that? And maybe we could score some clout. Hey, I mean, is it really this over? That it's less than 1%.
Look, they'd have to be the mystery team. We know how rare that happens. I mean, every once in a while,
with
the Phillies, of course.
Yeah.
Like, that happens every once in a while, but like, they'd have to be a real mystery team out of nowhere. Like, these teams all had meetings. Like, he's making a decision.
Sure.
These are the finalists. Like, it would be very, very unlikely if it's like, oh, the Phillies got him.
Yeah.
No, part of me kind of hopes there is like wishful thinking that they're just playing chess, not checkers, because their percentage was higher at the start of the offseason in the Juan Soto talks. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, just kidding. The Phillies aren't in it. When in reality, it's probably because it's too much money. And honestly, like, he's a great player. Like, and great is underrating him,
he's tremendous.
I should say.
Yeah.
But do the Phillies really need him? Like, they already have the bats. Their bats just went cold at the worst moment.
Well, that's very
debatable.
I don't think that's the way to look
very
at it.
No, I agree, but I could also see them looking at it that way for the price that he's asking.
Well, you guys know I've made the case. I think they could run it back and win it all, but I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. But, I mean, I'd certainly like to see them upgrade. Here's another thing we have no idea of. What's his relationship with Bryce Harper and Trey Turner, who he played with? Like, I don't know. I have no clue. Right. So, you know, maybe that's an element in there. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phone. Sheil Kapadia joins us shortly. I think all three played for the Nationals. Didn't they all win a World Series?
No, Bryce
wasn't there.
Bryce wasn't there for that, but he was there for other portions of Soto, I believe.
He left the year after he left. I think they won it.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. All right, Sheil shortly. Wade right now. Wade, good morning.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Good morning.
Hi, Wade.
So I consider myself a realist. So, like, I keep it real. Mm-hmm. Like, realist is real, then reality, they like all got like the same words in the real. So like, I just say what I see, and like, two things can be right at once. Like, Jalen has been the worst on the offense besides the receivers and the injuries and stuff. It's like, okay, the running back, like, what was Saquon going to do? We're going in, okay, he the MVP.
Well, he hasn't been the worst, but that's an interesting way to frame it, maybe closer to the bottom than the top. So he's been better than the third wide receiver, clearly. Third wide receiver has been a joke.
I'm talking about all the receivers. Our receivers play.
Yeah, okay, you're saying injured. All the position groups. You think the quarterback position group is the weakest of the five.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, tight end, O-line, running back, him. Okay. Interesting.
That's been affecting because the receiver's been hurting and everything. But, see, the thing is, Jalen, right, he's not playing. Okay, look, I'm not counting the first year when Doug was the quarterback, but let's go when he first started being a starter. He played okay. We was 9-8. He was learning that offense. The second year, he was an MVP, took us to the Super Bowl because he was down pack. He had the offense. And then the third year, they changed it on him, and he got a new coordinator. Then this year, he got a new coordinator, too. So all the things, when he got the first-year coordinator, he'd be late with the passes and the reads and stuff because he's still learning. And he said that. And I'm not making excuses. That just is what it is.
There's a lot more than that, too, Wade, with the protection as well. This is the first year that he's actually had to make those calls. You know, hey, Mike
is left. And
he's
doing good with that.
Mike is left. Hey, guys, hey, no, check. We're going to gap this one. Hey, no, check that. Ringo, we're going to switch it up. He is declaring the protection. He's deciding the best way to go about it. He's communicating all of that on top of everything else. He's trying to communicate with the wideouts, with the backs. It's a lot more on his plate. He's managing it very
well. Especially after last year.
Well, for sure. That's
what we talked about.
Yeah, and it also looks like he's audibly more. And that's a good thing. Hey, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Harry, red tag bonus cash in soon. New 2025 Chevy Trax arriving daily, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Poll question, will the Phillies sign Juan Soto? Yes or no? Where do you stand on that? I can't imagine there'll be too many yeses after what Seltzer said. But we'll see where
Debbie
Twitter...
Debbie Downer.
We'll see where Twitter goes over the next couple of hours.
Gotta keep it real.
Bleak.
Holy mackerel.
Bleak.
All right, let's talk to Sheil Kapadia. It does a phenomenal job covering both the Eagles and the entire National Football League, of course, for The Ringer. By the time we talk to him every Wednesday, he's had a chance to break down the game film from the last game. And we welcome Sheil right now. Good morning, Sheil.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy. So, Sheil, we're doing a Jalen Hurts revisit today. He's played better lately. There's no question. Last caller had an interesting point. I think he's actually been the weakest of the five position groups on offense, which I would tend to think is probably true, but I don't know. It's close.
You got him in the trailer in the back of the car.
I would say the O-line's been better. I'd say the two main receivers certainly have been better, but, you know, Saquon's been better. But anyway, Sheil, where are you with Jalen right now? What does the film show you with how he's playing?
Yeah, I think you look at this last game, and he's doing what's asked of him, but what's asked of him is not, in the passing game, is not what other teams are asking of their quarterbacks. This is just how the team is built. You know, this is a defense-first, run-heavy, offensive-line type team right now, and we've seen that, and it's worked well. They've won eight games in a row. So you look at this last game, he threw, 18 or 19 passes in this game. They're incorporating the run-pass options. They're doing play action. You did see some progress there where they're going under center, play action. He's throwing the football over the middle more in recent weeks, which I really like. He's showing he's able to do that. So it's one of those situations where you got to look at two things. Like, one is what's being asked of him compared to other quarterbacks in terms of carrying the load in the passing game for the entire team. And then two is, what's he doing with what he's being asked to do? And that second question, I think he did a good job this last week.
Sheil, how much more did we RPO this week?
Yeah, this was probably as best as good as the RPOs have looked all season long. So I don't know the percentage, but certainly when you look at a low volume passing game, it took up a bigger percentage of the passing game than it has other weeks. You know, they had a nice one to A.J. Brown where they're looking at the linebacker on the left side. Is he moving or not? No, he's not. Okay, you get the slant to A.J. Brown, and that was a first down. And then, of course, the touchdown to Dallas Goedert. That was a well-designed RPO. So these are the types of things they're doing. You know, teams come in against the Eagles, and they say, we can't let Saquon Barkley just kill us the entire game. We've got to find ways to stop that Eagles running game. And so now you have to have change-ups off of that, and I think they did a nice job doing that.
So are you at all worried about the lack of consistent scoring from the offense? We complain about the first quarter. We complain about the sputtering to start the game. Hey, why don't the first 15 generate points all the time? I thought every team I ever competed with generated points with those first 15 at a much greater clip than what we're seeing. Is that a worry for you that it's inconsistent, the offensive production?
And I'll tack on another question with that, Sheil. Do you see something on film that explains why it's happening?
I don't know. I don't. Every week is different, and I don't see anything on film where I say this is happening every week. I mean, there is some weirdness to it. Like in this game, the first possession, they designed this play to Will Shipley, that little pass behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah. That was the only snap the guy played the whole game. Like, I don't know. Like, why, if you're trying to score the first quarter, I don't know. Maybe you're trying to get the guy a touch or something.
But I can explain that one, Sheil.
Okay.
I really can. Like, in the first 15, you try to get different personnel groupings, see how they work, see how the defense responds.
Yeah.
And when they went pony personnel grouping with the two tailbacks for that play, and then they had the cross action, what they saw from the way the defense reacted, they didn't feel like it was advantageous for the Eagles, so then they just didn't go back to it?
And specifically, Sheil, we asked Sirianni yesterday, you know, are they setting plays up more early than other teams? And he didn't say yes, he didn't say no, but I was struck that he didn't say no. He didn't refute the concept. And I'm not trying to talk ourselves into explaining and justifying why they never score, but maybe it is more of a setup than other teams utilize. And the Shipley plays an example of that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there are other teams, there are other coaches who have said this. Kyle Shanahan has said this with the 49ers, exactly what John just mentioned, that you're gathering information the first couple possessions of the game where, hey, how are they going to come out and play when we're playing with two running backs on the field? Hey, how are they going to play us when we have two tight ends on the field? And then you use that stuff later in the game. So I can't tell you whether they're doing that more than other teams. Now, they are getting better as the game goes on. So there's some evidence there that if they are doing that, you know, that it's not nonsense and that there's something to it. Now, overall with the offense, you know, what you asked me, I am a little concerned. Again, I don't want to, like, it's not panic level. The team has won 8 in a row, and I think they're probably one of 6 teams in the NFL that can win the Super Bowl. But I think we just have to come to grips with is this is like a different setup than we've seen with previous Eagles teams. This offense is, I would say, above average, but not elite. And the defense, I think, is the best in the NFL right now. And I think internally, they probably look at that and they say, hey, this isn't what we expected coming into the season, but this is what we have right now, and this is how we're going to play.
Yeah.
And so I think the defense is going to keep them in pretty much every game. But yes, if we're talking about, hey, this team went out of the playoffs earlier than we expected, I think we're probably going to be having a conversation about, hey, the offense didn't make that leap that many of us were expecting.
Interesting. All right, Shield, let's talk more about the D. So I saw something on social media yesterday. I forget who it was. First time I've seen it. Someone put out there that Jalen Carter could and should, as of now, win the Defensive Player of the Year award in pro football. We all know he's made a huge leap. Has he made that leap? I mean, is he in that conversation, in your opinion?
I don't think he's quite there. Now, I think he's been awesome. He was incredible in this game, and the one thing that stood out to me about Jalen Carter in this game, we know he's got the physical gifts. I think this is a really high IQ player. I mean, you see some of these plays on film, and he's recognizing and diagnosing what's coming, what the offense is trying to do, and then he's making the play. So he was awesome. He's been on an awesome run. I don't want to take anything away from him. I just think he got off to maybe a little bit of a slower start than he's playing right now, and there's probably some other defensive players, some other pass rushers in the NFL who have been a little bit more consistent. So I think he's going to get all pro consideration. So he's kind of right below that, but I would say probably not quite in that defensive player of the year conversation.
Shiel, what have you seen from Jalix Hunt? I was surprised in this game, this last game, that he shined a little bit. I thought he kind of flashed at times, and I wondered what you made of his tape.
Yeah, I kind of go with what Vic Fangio said yesterday, where I think he said, you know, he did some good things and he did some not so good things. I mean, this is a rookie, and so I think for the first maybe 2.5, 3 quarters of the game, I thought, all right, I haven't seen him do much here on the reps he's been in there. But then he had a great sequence where he sets the edge on a play and makes the tackle against the run. And then the next play was a big one where Zach Bond is blitzing. Lamar Jackson's trying to get the ball out to the left side there, and Jalix Hunt is right there with his pass rush, and they both kind of combine for the sack, and that knocks the Ravens out of a shorter field goal. So there were some encouraging signs. I think we just have to have fair expectations that this is a guy they probably didn't expect to play a whole lot this season, and now he's being thrown into this role. So it didn't look too big for him, and I think there's some stuff to build on there.
How does this Eagles team compare to that Lions team? You know, the Lions, they're 11-1, but man, their schedule down the stretch is so brutal. They got the Packers, the Bills, the Bears, the 49ers, the Vikings. We know that that's our competition for the one seed. How important is that one seed? How do we compare to the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, the Lions have the fourth hardest schedule in the NFL going forward. The Eagles have the easiest schedule in the NFL
forward.
If you look at just kind of the betting market. So they've really got a chance at this one seed. I do think it's a big deal for what you mentioned, John. No one has stopped that Lions offense when they've been indoors and at home. Now, if they have to come to Lincoln Financial Field and play a cold weather game, that's a different animal. The Eagles are going to be favored. If the Eagles play at home, they're going to be favored over the Lions. If they have to go to Detroit, I think the Lions are going to be favored. So they've got a fantastic offensive line. They've got a fantastic run game. They run the ball at a high rate. Their defense has overachieved, but their defense is dealing with way more injuries than the Eagles' defense is dealing with right now. So part of this final stretch is obviously playing well, trying to get that one seed. And the other thing is try to avoid those devastating injuries that can really impact your ceiling in the playoffs.
How good a coach is Nick Sirianni in your estimation? How good a performance is he having this season?
Well, he's doing a great job this season. Now, if you ask me, hey, make a list of the reasons why the Eagles are so good this season, I probably would not, just being honest, I would not have him like 1, 2, or 3 on that list. That doesn't mean he's not doing a good job. I just think the way this team is built with Vic Fangio and Jeff Stoutland and the talented wide receiver, Howie Roseman, I would give other people credit before I would say, hey, the coach is the one who's really driving this thing. But you can't argue with the overall record. You can't argue with 10-2 from where this team was after the first 5 weeks.
Hey, Shiel, good work, buddy. As always, we love having you on the show. We look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you, Shiel.
All right, guys, take care. Talk to you next
good
week.
Good stuff.
Thanks,
man.
Shiel.
You know what I thought of yesterday? So the Eagles have an 8-game winning streak. 5 games left. If they go 5-0, they'll probably get the 1 seed. It's not guaranteed, but probably. Which means they then have to win 3 playoff
games.
There's
always one more loss thrown in.
No, I don't know, man. These are some bad garbage teams.
I get that.
Garbage.
And well, Washington and Pittsburgh are not garbage.
I'm saying other than that, I hear you.
You got to expect a loss.
Panthers have been playing better.
I'm not saying that.
Panthers are frisky, man. Yeah. They almost beat the Chiefs. They almost beat the Bucks.
All right, well, here's the point, though. Here's the point.
A loss in here, Joe. And if it.
Well, you should root for it.
No, I would root for it. If I had to bet, I would bet on them going 14-3. I would not. I don't think they're going 15-2.
Yeah, I think
they'll lose another game.
I think if they play all of them, meaning the starters in the last week,
I'm talking about 5-0. Purposeful, like trying.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
but here's my point. If they go 5-0 and get that 1 seed and only need to win 3 playoff games, 8-game winning streak behind them, it would take an 8-game winning streak up ahead to win the Super Bowl. In that scenario. It would be a 16-game winning streak.
Yeah, it'd be nuts.
I mean, it'd be a freaking 16-game winning
streak. It'd be like going 16-0 in the old, days.
And I believe the record is the Patriots, I think, had it overlapped one, from 03 to 04.
It was 25 or something.
I thought
like that.
It was 23 or 24.
It was somewhere in that
something
range.
Something like that. So
I don't know if this town is equipped for that.
Oh, my God. Imagine that. We're talking about a 35-game Flyers unbeaten streak. Well, how about a 16-game Eagles winning streak? That'd be wild. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's also give you a chance today when you call in to win a cool prize, which is a pair of tickets to see Kevin Hart this weekend, actually. He's going to be in town, his town, obviously Philadelphia. His Acting My Age tour at the Met Philly happening on Sunday. Tickets are on sale, still on sale, at Ticketmaster.com, but you can win the tickets here today. And here's how. We got to give a happy 60th birthday shout out to the great Marissa Tomei,
wow,
60 years old this week for Marissa Tomei, who obviously I think her most notable character, and it won her an Oscar, was in My Cousin Vinny as, and I had to look this up earlier, what was her name? Her name was Mona Lisa Vito.
Yes.
Phenomenal character.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
Yeah, phenomenal character, Mona Lisa Vito. With that, I ask you this question in honor of Marissa Tomei's tremendous performance in that movie. Who is, and that was an early 90s movie, which character was the best female movie character of the 1990s other than Marissa Tomei as Mona Lisa Vito? So we're not so much talking about the performance, but the character. Compelling, fun, funny, serious, whatever made it great, a great character, 90s female character. John, when you think of a great 90s female character, what comes to mind for you?
Sarah Connor.
Yeah, that's a big
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah.
Linda big Hamilton.
Those
are play.
Very, very big character.
She could do 25 pull-ups right there, right in a row.
She was fierce.
On camera.
She was fierce.
Incredible how
yeah, she
tough
was great.
She was.
Devin, give me an answer. Female character from the 90s.
So might not be a fan favorite because there's some controversy over whether or not there was room on the door, but Rose from Titanic.
Room on the door, that's
some
right.
Controversy.
There was.
Rose.
Murderer.
Rose.
No big deal.
Murderer. Straight up cold-blooded
manslaughter.
Murderer.
By the way, I saw something on social media like a day or two ago, and we've talked about it before, but this person really put it in context. Like her throwing the heart of the ocean, was that what it was
called? Oh, yeah. It's one of the craziest things that ever happened.
Like,
It's insane.
She's
it's
got like a granddaughter.
Like $500 million or whatever
could,
that
who
thing
Who could use that
million.
Money? You yeah. know, I mean, she oh, dreams upon so dying incredible. Of the guy yeah. that.
It's outrageous.
She slept with one time in the back of a
it's
car.
It's way worse than not letting Jack on the door. Way
right,
worse.
All right, Seltzer, wow. give me a great female character
so,
in the night.
So happy 60th birthday to Marissa Tomei. Also, happy 6th birthday to Zoe Seltzer today.
Oh.
How about that?
Happy birthday, Zoe.
6 years ago, you guys did the show without me.
How about that?
Yeah. All right, I will go with. I do think there's a winning answer. I'm not going to take it. But if someone. I do think there's a really great one out there.
Okay.
But I'll bring up with a character I don't know if we've ever brought up on the show. Sharon Stone is electric as Ginger in Casino. That is a great
yeah,
performance, great character.
No, that's a good answer. Yeah, I think her basic instinct character. I liked a little bit more. But
yeah, you think?
No, Ginger was really good. You're right. All right, Ree, give me an answer.
I'm going to go as a hat tip to Marissa Tomei because of the accent, Marge Gunderson in Fargo.
Yeah,
so that was my winning
one.
Answer. There oh. we go. So no one else, there you go.
Right.
Off the board.
And I'll tell you. I
loved her.
Yeah, well, she was compelling. I think Ginger was a fascinating answer, James. That could have won. Any of these could have won. All right, so the rest of the field is available. Great 90s female character. What do you got? Let us know.